First scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, just found on page 672 of your Pew Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
We also turn to a second lesson from the book of Acts, looking at chapter 11. Let's see, I believe it's on page 130 of our Pew Bible. Yes, that's right. Acts 11, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you know this, but last Saturday, not yesterday, but a week ago, it was National Record Store Day. That's real. That's a real thing. National Record Store Day. And record stores have parties, and sometimes have live music and refreshments, and people come through and shop, and the record industry releases special albums on that day. Not CDs, they release actual records still. And if you're fortunate, you can be one of the first few to get a hand on these limited edition things. I was down near Seminole Heights visiting with a guy who probably is the sole proprietor at a record store called Micro Groove. And he was telling me all about Record Store Day. I said, "How was your Record Store Day?" And he said, "Eh, it was all right." I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "Well, you know, it's sort of over." And I said, "It's over? I'm going to tell my congregation about it. How can it be over?" And he said, "Well, you know, it used to be a really fun thing, and now people just look at the list to see if there's anything they want to buy. And if they don't like what's on the list, they don't come, and they don't have the party with us." And he said, "It's still okay, but it's kind of over." And I was kind of sad for him, because I realized that he has faced a lot of change in just a short time. Think about all the changes that folks in that run record stores have looked at in 20, 25 years. They faced lots of change. I wasn't able to go to a record store on Record Store Day, but this past week I snuck over to our little local independent record store on the corner of Kings and Bloomingdale. It's called Sound Exchange. Don't know if you've been, but I'll tell you that in 25 years, they have faced a lot of change for sure. One change that they've made is that they had to let the cleaning lady go. They, I think, maybe even had to sell the vacuum cleaner to pay some outstanding debts, because I went in and the place ain't been vacuumed in a long time. I think if they had any end dust, they also asked, "What would you give me for this container of end dust and these dust cloths?" Because you don't want to take the white glove and, you know, do that. It's not good. Record stores have faced a lot of changes, and one of the things that they did, and I saw this as evident in Sound Exchange, is they started selling other merchandise too. Not only can you find, you know, proper records, but if you want, you can even buy a record player there. They have record players and used record players. And if you have a brand new light blue color vinyl album of Miles Davis and you need a record player to play it on, you buy that one. And if you need an amplifier, you can buy that. And do you need speakers? Oh, we have those too. And then if you want to have a little action figure to sit next to your record player, like a Star Wars Stormtrooper, you can buy that and put that next to your record player, and he can kind of bob his head along to the jazz saxophone solos. And if you need a t-shirt, they have lots of t-shirts. Many of them are hanging from the ceiling. But I would advise that you wash the t-shirt first, because, as I mentioned, the dusting has not been really active. And there's lots of things for sale there. There's comic books and DVDs, and I even found some 8-tracks. Remember 8-tracks? I found some of those. All this change represented in one little store. Records and cassettes and CDs, and they don't have any MP3 players for sale, but I bet if I wanted one, they'd try to get one. All this change that's happened in this one little store, it sort of mirrors the change that we've experienced in our lives in just a short time. It used to be that students would travel from up east on the train line all the way down to the University of Tampa. Maybe they did that. Now it's cars or planes where we travel. Students used to write term papers and they would type them on typewriters, where you had to, not an automatic typewriter either, where you had to take your finger and depress the key hard so that the arm would slam against the paper, right? Amazing. I tried that out once. My pinkies are in bad shape. They can't. I don't know, I needed to use my first finger for A. I couldn't handle, my pinky was no use. But then after typewriters and automatic typewriters, it's word processing on word processors and computing on computers. And now I'm sure students can just dictate their papers on their phones using voice recognition software that comes with all these changes. A procedure years ago that would have been a big scar And a whole week in the hospital now is two small scars, and it's outpatient. See you later. Now? Yeah, you're good. Go ahead. So many changes in our lives. And the only thing that's constant in all these changes is change. The only thing that stays the same is that we will experience more change. In the lesson today from Acts, I don't know if you saw this, but Peter is dealing with change. Peter is struggling with change in this passage. He's sort of gotten into a little bit of trouble, sort of been like called before the committee on ministry, because they want to know, why, Peter, why are you eating with those people? And so Peter has to explain himself. And I like that Luke says that he explains it step by step. Peter tells his story, that he was praying, but he had this vision of a big sheet coming down from heaven, all these different animals on it of every kind. And I guess he was, you know, it was that time of day, he was a little bit hungry. And the voice said, Peter, arise, kill and eat. And he says, oh, no, 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 I've never eaten that stuff. That stuff's unclean. And the voice says, what I have called clean, don't call unclean. And this happens several times. And then Peter snaps out of it. And there are men there that want to take him somewhere. And the Spirit tells him to go. And so Peter goes. And he goes to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was of the Italian cohort. That's strike one if you're one of the elders from Jerusalem. And he was a centurion. There's strike two. Now the elders are just listening for strike three. And Peter tells him about how that Cornelius was faithful and he was there with his whole household and invited them to preach about Jesus and tell him the story of the gospel. And so as Peter did that, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Just as it fell at Pentecost, so it fell upon all in Cornelius' house. And Peter says, and this is really the kicker, Peter says, if God has given the gift to these people, just as he's given the gift to us, who am I to hinder God? And then the elders don't know what to say. They're speechless. This is something that Luke does in Acts, is he'll tell you a story, he'll recount a narrative, and then in a little while later, he'll have the main character tell the story again. And it's sort of interesting to see what's different. In Acts chapter 10, we get the actual event that happens. And when Peter is recounting it to the elders, he says, if God has given them this gift, then who am I to hinder God? And that word for hinder in Greek, I don't want Bruce McVeigh to have seminary withdrawal syndrome, so we'll give him a little bit. So the Greek word, the root is kaluo, which means to prevent or hinder or withhold. Bruce is like, nah, maybe. So Peter uses that word. But then, and he sounds very confident, if God has given him this gift, who am I to hinder God, to kaluo God? In chapter 10, when this happens, when he preaches and the Holy Spirit falls on them all, he sort of is a little bit more cautious in what he says. He says, who could kaluo? Who could prevent them from being baptized? It's like Peter is looking around and checking to make sure. He's like, I feel like the Spirit is leading me to baptize these people that are not a part of us. Who would prevent me from doing this? Anyone? Could anyone please prevent me? Because if you don't, I'm going to do it. Who would kaluo me? And Peter baptizes them, the whole household. That's a great question. Kaluo. It's very important in Acts. Maybe you remember the scene where the chariot is going by and the Ethiopian eunuch is inside and Philip runs up along and notices that the Ethiopian eunuch, that I just like to call EE for short, EE is reading the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip is running, and he must be in good shape because he's able to ask questions while he's running. And he says, "What are you reading? Are you reading? Do you understand it?" And the Ethiopian eunuch, EE for short, says, "How could I without someone to interpret it? Hop on in." And Philip gets invited in, and they begin to talk. They talk about Isaiah, and they talk about the suffering servant and how that is Christ and how Christ suffered for us. And Philip witnesses to EE. And then the Ethiopian eunuch stops the car and says, "Look at that water over there. What is to kaluo me from being baptized?" Philip sort of thinks to himself, "Well, you got two strikes against you. You're Ethiopian and you're a eunuch. But what is really to prevent you from being baptized and to be a part of this family of faith?" And they go out and he's baptized. And he rejoices on his way, and Philip is whisked on his way to continue to do the work of the Spirit. Kaluo, to hinder, prevent, withhold, stop. As we think about change, kaluo is an interesting verb that keeps coming back. It happened not just in Acts, it happens in Luke. Jesus is with the disciples, and I imagine two disciples run up there very excited, maybe a little bit out of breath. "Master, Master, we saw some people casting out demons in your name, but don't worry. We kaluoed them." And Jesus says, "Don't kaluo people. Anybody who isn't against us is for us." What an attitude that Jesus has about change. The disciples were at it again another time. The children were trying to get to Jesus, and they were trying to kaluo them. And Jesus says, in his classic King James, like the way he always talks, he says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not kaluo them, for the kingdom of God is such as these." If God has given the gifts of the Spirit to them, just as he's given it to us, who am I, Peter says, to kaluo God? As we think about change, this is American Sign Language for change. As we think about change and the Holy Spirit's action, there's two theological principles that we may want to lay out. The first is about change. We don't like change. We don't want change. We're not good at change. We can't change. As we talk about human nature, we've got to name that. Sort of like the old Presbyterian joke, how many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Change? It's not a good joke, but it is. It's out there. It's out there. We don't like change. We're not good at change. We can't change. It's what's true about us. But that's not the only thing. Because the other theological principle that we want to remember is that the Holy Spirit changes lives. The Holy Spirit changes us. Look across the pages of Acts and see the way the Holy Spirit has changed Peter. Look across the pages of Acts and see how the Holy Spirit has changed Saul into Paul. Look at the pages of your own life and see how the Holy Spirit has changed you. Someone who doesn't like to change and doesn't want to change and can't change, the Holy Spirit has changed you. The Spirit burns like fire. The Spirit blows like a wind. The Spirit is poured out upon us like the waters of baptism and fills us up like a pitcher, and we are changed. And all we can do is reach out and grab a fingerhold of faith. We can trust in God. We can rely on God. We can reach out in faith for God. That's why that passage from Isaiah is so important today. He who formed you, O Jacob, he who created you, O Israel, do not be afraid. I have called you by name. You are mine. Though you pass through the waters of baptism, don't be scared. Though you face the fires of the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid. You are precious to me, and I love you. You and I can rely on God and have faith in the face of all this change. And if you don't have faith, borrow some. Borrow Peter's faith, the one who said, if the Spirit has done all this to them, just as he's done it to us, who are we that we can kaluo God? Amen.